This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Rizzler and Big Justice, the song. I've heard of the RZA. I've heard of the Jizza.
Yes.
I haven't heard of the Rizzler. The Rizzler, the Jizzler. Or, like, what are we doing here with this?
What?
Jizzler. Hawk Tua. It's just crazy when you become him. It's crazy is what you be crazy what you could become famous
Sid
for.
World, dude.
Yeah, well that's
it really
and that's
is.
Kind of the
Sid
point.
World.
And back to these sports, which is supposed to be an escape from the stuff, although it's kind of intertwined here. You know, the Mets, and I was just reading something. I saw the post game a little bit with Gary Cohen on SNY. They did a great job all year long, postseason long, with all the off day shows and all that stuff. And Gary said something interesting, I thought, saying how last night was, this is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. This is the beginning. And I do understand that, and I do respect that. However, much like the Yankees, and we'll have plenty of time to obviously dissect the Yankee series BT and why we think that, you know, the Yankees could win or why the Dodgers, whatever it may be, what needs to happen and go over all that. The Yankees are here. Bottom line is they're here. This is your opportunity because you never know when you're going to be back. Nobody thought 15 years ago that that was going to be the last time they were in a World Series. So with the Mets, while I don't anticipate that this will be their last opportunity, while I do anticipate, much to Gary's point, that things are going to get better and this is only the beginning, you also just don't know. It took a lot of work to get to this point. Now, you hope that maybe things come easier for them moving forward, but they were here. That's why, like, while it could be a great thing moving forward, you just don't, to your point about the Giants after 2022. Like, the Giants made the postseason in 2020. Did we think they were going to go back and get to a divisional round win a divisional round and get to a championship game? Maybe not, but we thought that it was going to be the beginning of building towards something. So, but there are no guarantees. That's why it hurts when you get that close.
Yep.
And the Mets were close, two wins away from the World Series. They didn't get the job done.
And there's more of a chance when you have a roster that's built, you know, for long-term sustainability, which right now the Mets don't. They've got a few elements to it. But, like, you take their last lineup, and I know they've had some different iterations of the lineup, obviously center field and a little bit of right field for a minute and some other things that, obviously McNeil getting back in there. But you just look at their lineup from last night, like, all right, Lindor, Nimmo, Vientos all back next year. Pete, we'll see with the contract. Winker started, obviously. He won't be back. Marte's, could, but until he is, he's not. Marte's got a year to go on that four-year deal. Taylor probably won't be back. McNeil's got, a year or two to go on his extension. Do you really want him back? And I think, to me, even Manaea on the mound, the key is Alvarez going forward for you.
Yeah.
I think that he has got to go to the laboratory, and he's got to change a lot. Number one, this, and I know that they teach catchers this, and you heard the broadcast team talk about this a lot. It is ridiculous. It is nonsensical that the entire catching, the actual parameter of framing a pitch now adversely impacts how you block a pitch. Like, the fact that there's more emphasis on taking a ball and squeezing an inch your way than giving your confidence, the confidence to your pitcher to throw a slider or maybe spike a knuckle curve with a man on third. But because your catcher's set up on one leg, and he's nobody can catch those tough ones the way he's set up, and you can't get down quick enough to box it up the old school way, which means you probably take one of your pitchers out of the repertoire, which makes it easier for the batter. So I think he's got to tweak some stuff defensively, and I want your answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I surmise it's going to be with a little bit of power, but I don't know what kind of hitter he's going to be either. He's a free swinger. He's a low average guy at this point. He is, again, very young player, and I do like his upside. But I would say for me, whatever I thought Alvarez's upside after last year was, it's come down a little bit. He's got a lot to fix.
You have the roster up in front of you or no?
I got it.
I want to play keep him or dump him.
All right. I love this stuff.
Okay, but before we do that, on your point
keep
about
him or dump him.
On your point about the framing,
uh-huh.
You could not be more correct.
I hate it.
But I hate it, too. I can't watch the games. It's like I did not want robo-umps at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a point where you have no choice but to get the robo-umps in here. For two reasons. One, to get the call rights. Two, to stop the nonsense with the framing. Like, framing is what flopping is. Yes. Framing is to baseball, flopping is to basketball. It just, there's no place for it. Not only does it make the catchers worse in some ways, in your point with Alvarez, but
just vulnerable.
Right. But just the game itself, enough. Enough with the trying to steal pitches and trying to trick the umpire into it. Enough. Just get the robo-umps. Let's call it a day. Have catchers go back to catching the ball the way that they should because it's going to be robot umps. That's it. I can't watch anymore with the framing. Okay, let's do keep them or dump them.
All right, I'll get to the pitchers last.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
The two catchers on the roster, Torrens. I'm not even sure what his status is. But all right, so Alvarez, keep or dump.
100%. And now, obviously,
keep.
Now, obviously, they will keep, but like you could also be believe or don't believe in him. And yes, I do believe Alvarez is going to be a middle of the bat impact, middle of the order impact bat for them.
As high as it was last year.
No, but there.
A slight diminishment, but still very strong.
Put it this way. I mean, I think at this point you're hoping he could get close to what Viento is.
God, if he's Vientos, then you got something. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be Viento. I don't think he's ever going to hit with that kind of average, that kind of consistency.
I do think he'll hit 20-plus home runs.
I agree. We already did.
Yeah, right.
I got you there.
Okay.
I believe, thank you, Big Zeus, Torrens is arbitration eligible. You want him as your backup? 28 years of age.
Don't care. Insignificant.
Okay. Gotcha. Acuna.
100%. Not only here, but starting.
Lindor's back?
Yep.
Do you want McNeil back?
No. No, dump him.
Okay.
It's enough. Enough of the Jeff McNeil experiment. It's over.
Iglesias.
Yeah, I'd take him back, but in a lesser role on the
mm-hmm.
bench.
And by the way, if you guys don't want him, send him to the Bronx. We'll take him.
No, I want him on the bench.
But just not relied upon as much as he has been. I would agree. All right. Vientos.
100%.
Where's he batting opening day? Is he a three-hitter for the next 5 years, ten years?
Yeah, I think he's no worse than two or three in the order.
Yep.
And the only question to me is it going to be a third base, first base, or DH? But he's on the team. I would probably, I don't want to blow it and get to Pete before we do, but I think the other moves impact what I would do with him, but 100% he's back and he's a 2-3 hitter in the order.
Let's get to Pete. Give me two. So, do you want him back and do you think he's back?
I would take Pete back and we said this earlier, but just to rehash it, I would take him back. I want him as a DH. Like, I'm trying to really upgrade this team in every which way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a good defensive first baseman. He's tried hard.
Yep.
He's gotten better.
He's competent. He's actually a little more incompetent.
But you need to tighten a lot of things up when you talk about winning a World Series. Not that they couldn't with him at first base if they made the other right moves, but I think they would project so much better if he were the DH the majority of the time. You could play first a little bit, but DH the majority of the time.
All right.
And a contract in accordance with that.
Okay, so you try to tighten things up and become a little bit more championship worthy, if you will. How are we putting Vientos at first base? He's not going to be better than Pete at first base. Pete's not Keith Hernandez, but
no.
Pete's okay. And Vientos is not going to be Pete right away. He's just not.
I would probably then move Pete. Well, I mean, you could have... I would probably...
Who's playing first?
Well, then you could go get a first baseman. Or get a third baseman. That's the point.
Or get the third baseman. Yeah, but if you get a third baseman and he's just a stick, I mean, you'd have to get a great fielding third baseman. Otherwise, because if you're putting it at Vientos... If Vientos goes to first to cover up for Pete, now defensively first base is weak, but now that's offset weakened. That's offset if the third baseman you bring in is an elite fielder, because in totality it's like, all right, Pete's good and Vientos is average at third. If you have awesome picking at a third and average to maybe eventually a tick better at first with Vientos, you still come out on top. But you can't have Vientos at first and a good hitter, bad third baseman at third. Otherwise, you just keep Vientos there.
The most important part of this equation is acknowledging that while I do want Pete back, it is in a non-core, non-long-term. Like, I would say, Pete, we want you back. But where's the, whatever contract, $150 million, whatever it may be. I'm not paying him to be the first baseman that he thinks he's going to be for the next, whatever, 7-8 years.
Okay.
I'm looking at him more like, we'll take you back and we'll give you, whatever, $25 million a year, whatever it may be for a certain amount of time. But I want you to be the primary DH and a little first base. That's the point. Not a core, like, okay, well, Pete's got to be back, and this guy's got to be back. So, yes, some combination of Vientos and Alonso, knowing, though, that I'm not paying him like a first baseman would get.
Do you want Martinez back?
No, absolutely not.
I agree. He's shot. Done. All right. Do you want Bader back?
No.
I agree. Do you want Marte back?
No.
I agree.
Not at all. Like, not even one part of me wants Marte back.
I agree.
Fun while it lasted for a little bit. See ya.
Yep. Do you want Winker back? Small role?
Yeah, I'm open to having Winker back as part of DH, you know, lefty DH. Yeah. Maybe Alonso plays first that day. Yeah, I'm lefty. Whatever it may be. However you want to figure that out. But mostly off the bench for Winker.
What about Taylor?
Yes. 100% want him back.
Yeah, he's good. He's good back for the roster guy.
I love him. He's arbitration eligible, so he will be back.
Okay. Do you think Acuna starts in center field or does he start at second base next year?
I would say infield. Now, remember, they're going to have some young guys.
I know.
Who else we got? Are we done? Or
I got to take a couple pitchers for you. I'm going to throw
fast. That's it with the offense?
That's it.
Well, Nimmo, you didn't. I know
he's. I know he's back. I have a question for you, though.
Yeah, yeah.
If somebody approached the Mets for a trade, I know because you're not going to get rid of them, would you miss him? If Mets actually made a trade and moved in a different direction, they found somebody.
It's the same thing I'm going to say about Pete, where, yes, I would miss Pete if he left, but I'm only looking at him as just not a core piece. Same thing with Nimmo. Now, Nimmo signed for a long time. He's going to be here, and I love Brandon Nimmo, the person.
Yep.
And I think a big part of why this team was able to be so together and successful is because of guys like Nimmo, Lindor, J.D. Martinez. Nimmo's not going anywhere, but I also would not look at him as a 2-3 hitter anymore. He's not. He's not a middle or top of the order hitter. Six hitter. So however it is that you need to figure out the rest of your roster, Nimmo comes down. He was never a center fielder. They did that for years.
Yep.
He's barely a left fielder. He's okay in left field. But he's not a top of the order guy. Not on a championship team.
You're right though. I've watched pretty much every post game. Not every second because sometimes there's Jet stuff or Yankee stuff. I feel like I watched every one of Nimmo's post-game interviews, and he's top of the mountain class act, man.
100%.
I don't think
he's bad, BT.
No, I know, me neither.
I think he's a good, solid ball player, good offensive player. Way too inconsistent to be one of the guys.
He's got
to
be repositioned. And if he is, then he could be a terrific, you know, five. Right. Even five if you get the first four in order, probably more six. All right, real fast, yes. Budo.
Whatever. Yeah, I'd bring him.
Diaz.
If there was a way out, I'd look for it, but no, it's fine.
Garrett?
No chance. I can't stand Reed Garrett.
You want to give Manaea? How many years you giving him?
I want Manaea back.
You're going like 4 years, 80? Like, you're doing something like that, maybe?
I'm not paying him like an ace, but I'd give him... Yeah, I mean, give me what the going rate is going to be, $20 million a year for him?
Probably. I mean, around there. I think his qualifier is 21. I think he and Severino are both 21.
Can I get him for, all right, 25?
You get 3 years for instead of 12. How about 3 years for 70?
Or 4 years, 100 max?
Yeah, I guess you could do something like that. Okay. I have no problem with that either.
Because I do think he's found something. He likes being here.
Yep.
You're going to need pitching anyway.
Maton.
No, I don't. I mean, if he's back, what... He's not the guy.
He's got an option, I'm being told. Thank you very much, Sue. Tyler McGill, he will be back based on the optionality, but you don't want him.
I'm over Tyler McGill.
David Peterson, definitely 100%. A starter going in the rotation. Boom.
Yes. Love Peterson. Love his competitiveness. I want him back.
Quintana. That's a tough one.
I like him.
I like him, too.
I'd take him for a year.
Yeah. What does he have, a year?
No, this is it.
Oh, that's right, because he signed a two-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. There might be an option.
He got hurt last year.
He is free agent. Okay, yeah.
All right. I'd probably let him walk.
Yeah,
I think there was a little magic that was spun, and they just kind of...
Again,
he just has to nibble. He doesn't have that stuff.
That's got to be a one-year depth piece max.
Yeah.
But I'd be open to it if the price were right.
But impossible not to respect what he did those last 8-9 starts, and even a little bit more than that. He was money for a while. Seve.
No. See ya.
You don't want Seve.
No. It was a good year. Time to move on. Now, what do you think he's going to get?
I think he's going to get 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not paying him 3 years. I'd rather invest in Manaea.
Okay.
The value of Seve was that it was a one-year...
$10 million deal.
And he overachieved that by a lot.
He did.
And you got to go find the next guy that could do that as opposed to now overpaying for Severino.
And that's not his biggest achievement this year. You know what that is? Helping me win the bet. The BT and Sal.
I know. I was thinking about that walking
in
today.
He's why I won.
You got to pick out what I'm going
to
be soon.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. Ryan Static.
Yeah. Whatever.
You'll probably take him back, right? And then Danny Young. You don't care about Danny Young. Whatever. So this is my point about the Mets. Awesome season. Amazing experiences. So much up in the air. And I do think myself, I think it's not because of the owner, not because of Stearns, not because of Mendoza. I think they've got the three things you need. I think they've got. I still think it's a little premature to look at this Mets team, not knowing if they're going to get Soto, not knowing what they're going to do with Pete, get another first baseman, third base, the other things that they might do. It's early for me, myself, to sit here and say, all right, the Mets are here for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I think they could be, but they got a very tumultuous offseason, and they've got to make a lot of tough decisions.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just pardon me.
In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app. There was a lot to discuss today. We started the show talking about the Yankees getting back to the World Series, first time in 15 years, Mets season being over, Jets and Giants season all but over after disastrous performances yesterday. And Malik Nabers, BT, had some interesting things to say. It was good to have Nabers back. I thought it was going to be a big part of what the Giants were going to do successfully yesterday. But he had some interesting things to say after the game.
Another game when you didn't get the running game going as an offense. And I'm sure you'll always tell us that you got to have both, because if there's no balance, it makes it real difficult on the pass.
I mean, yeah, but again, that's not my job. My job is to run routes, get open, and catch the ball.
Right.
You had four catches early in the first half, and then didn't get the ball in the second half. Just any difference between the two halves?
No. Like I said, I was open.
Not a great look for the young man. He'll learn from this. I would imagine. I would hope so. I would think somewhere along the line in the building, somebody will say, "Hey, young man, you know, in a good way, put your arm around. Hey, listen, not the end of the world, but yeah, try to build this as a team." You don't answer it that way, and it's a little bit of a teachable moment. It's not incredibly divisive. I don't want to make more of it than it is. I think he's a terrific young man. He's a great player. But I think that that's, you know, necessarily, or that's necessary to change to get the full culture you're looking for. You are open. You know, when you say that in the film room, you know, when you say that on the practice field, you know, you can say that in the huddle, you could bark to him, "Hey, I'm open, get me the ball." Like, even though you're a rookie, maybe you don't say it like that, but you know, you could express to Daniel Jones, "I'm open." But you know, to tell the whole world that you're open, you're basically saying, "Hey, I did my job. The rest of the guys didn't do theirs, so don't look at me." I know he doesn't mean it that way. I know that. I don't love it,
though. But that's what he said. Hoff was right there in the locker room getting that sound for us, so we appreciate that. But, you can't say that.
No, I know.
Like, that, at what point does Nabers think that that's okay? Like, in any walk of, and I think Nabers has been a great kid since he's been here. Well, I mean, I was going to say no issues, but obviously, you know, the concussion stuff, and then the concert, which was a little bit of an issue, I guess, for some, but... Either way.
We didn't make a huge deal out of it. We were just worried if it was going to make it worse, given the noise with his brain.
I didn't think it was a good thing
optics,
to do.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't look great.
And then you just don't know physically, like, what being at a concert, a loud concert with a headache, with a concussion, what that would do to your head. But anyway, point is, that's a selfish thing to say for a rookie to throw his teammates or teammate under the bus.
Yeah.
Everybody's frustrated. Losing breathes this type of emotion a lot of times. You've got to be smarter than say, oh, I was open.
Mm-hmm.
Did my job.
Well, for me, I mean, yeah. Listen, if they could block better and he could find me. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously pushing it past what he said. But no, I don't like it. I'm just not going to eviscerate him because he's a kid. And, you know, there's arrogance. There's selfishness that really shine through with certain comments. I think that was just a rookie being maybe a little too candid without the ill
right.
will. I don't think that was like, he wasn't trying to hurt anybody. That's why. But it needs to be broached by somebody in the building. And if not, then it can fester. Like, it needs to be communicated to him. Hey, I know you didn't mean it that way, but this is how some people might take it. So this is how we do it with the Giants. Let's change this. Let's do that. Let's button this up. And if that's done, and I'm not sure that it will be. I hope it is. If it's addressed by the Giants, he seems to be receptive enough to the small sample we've seen of him to take it, process it the right way, and learn from it.
One other soundbite I saw yesterday that caught my attention, it was Aaron Rodgers postgame when he was being asked about what this 2-5 Jets team can do to, you know, get these guys in this locker room to believe and turn it around.
Stop listening to you guys. Number one. Number two, got to be accountable, you know? I got to play better. That's the key. I got to play better.
Now, think about that, BT. Stop listening to you guys, meaning the media. The media has done nothing but kiss the Jets' ass all offseason, early in this season. The media, if anything, was gassing the Jets players up. Now, is he talking about that, or is he talking about the negative aspect of it, of the media?
Well, I think he's got to be talking about both, because if he's selective in one that hurts the team and embracing the one where they're kissing his ass to, you know, and their ass, in your words, and you're not wrong to start the season, then he's being disingenuous. So if he's telling, as he just did, to stop listening to the media, is he literally telling people to stop listening to the segment he does with McAfee, where he gets paid over $1 million to
point.
Do it? That's probably not good business. So which one is it? I mean, again, now the fact that it was softened by him taking accountability, he flat out said, I got to be better.
I think he realized that after what he said was, you know,
maybe so, yeah.
Be,
and that's all happened to us where we say something, then we're like, oh, let me slip this in quick to make it seem, maybe. I can't read his mind. All I know is I'm getting tired of hearing Aaron Rodgers speak. I need to see Aaron Rodgers walk off the field a winner once in a while. I don't need the McAfee stuff. I don't need the press conferences. I don't need any of it. I need some wins. And he was brought here as a hired gun to get wins. And at the end of the day, let's face it, he's done nothing for the New York Jets. Zero.
Speaking of McAfee stuff, one more piece of sound I want you to hear, BT.
No.
Bill Belichick today on his appearance with Pat McAfee. Go ahead.
You're a little too hard on me on those Jets. I thought Coach Law did a good job with that team, rebuilding the culture and all that. Last 2 weeks, I don't know. I don't know if they were a lot better on defense when he was there.
Okay, so what being talked about is the absence of Saleh defensive strategy with how their entire playing. And what are your thoughts on this Jets season? They're seemingly going all in here. 2-5, whatever the record is, not great at this standpoint. You think they have enough talent to turn it around, or what are you seeing from this Jets team?
Well, I just don't understand the head coaching move, that's all. But, I mean, the Jets are the Jets, and, you know, Woody, so Woody's Woody.
He's an MVP.
Oh, I was even worse than I thought. I knew that second part.
Woody.
Hey, well, look, the Jets' defense has gotten worse. You thought that was a possibility. Solid. The defense wasn't really the problem under Robert Saleh. It was everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a good head coach, but
he also had a couple of games in the rain where the scoring was neutralized. That Denver game, it rained the entire game. It was a little wet in London. But, I mean, listen, as much as I don't need to hear about Rodgers talking about anything but the actual game, I need to hear less of that guy, that curmudgeon. Just
I like Belichick.
Yeah. You go frolic around with your little 23-year-old girlfriend. Have fun.
God bless him. I'm not saying I'm mad at him.
I'm saying you go frolic around. What are you wasting time on that show for? Remember, what are you? You're 75 years old. Your girlfriend's 23. Go hang out with your girlfriend. You got all the money in the bank.
Probably,
the hell you doing talking to McAfee?
Probably
talking
part of the deal.
For.
I mean, isn't that the demo? She's a big fan probably of the McAfee show. Likes
True. I just, he obviously has an agenda against the Jets. The tough thing is, although it was time for Saleh to go. I wouldn't have brought him back this year. You wouldn't have brought him back this year. But anytime this guy has a chance to reach for that little knife and just give the Knicks, give the Jets a little poke, he does. And
Woody's Woody.
Yeah. I mean, how can you be more dismissive? Yeah, Woody's Woody. Basically, he just said he owned the team for 20 years. He's done nothing. Woody's Woody. He's terrible. That's what he meant.
If you're Woody, wouldn't you, like, this has been repeated now for weeks. Wouldn't you stand up for yourself and say something?
I would just have a totally different persona than, and first of all, I'd be a lot more successful than he is. I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? Like, are you going to start fighting wars? Like, is he going to come out on one of our shows and defend it? Like, he can't defend his records. Like, a politician has done nothing trying to defend records. Well, what's your policies? They all failed. How are they going to go on a show and defend your record? How is he going to go on a show and defend his record as owner of the Jets? It's indefensible.
How about he goes, you know, Woody comes on somewhere and says, Bill, I don't understand what the problem is. I'm trying. As a matter of fact, why don't you come and try to help me out? Help me fix it. You seem like you have all the answers. Here's the check.
Oh, well, you can't say that publicly. You talking about privately?
Because
you look so...
I don't care. The Jets game. What do you mean? You look so what?
Well, I'm saying if you...
You can't look any worse than what they've looked.
You can. Once he says no, and he gets $10 million a year more than the Giants. For the Giant. What?
Can I tell you? This is Bill Belichick's way of saying he wants to coach the Jets. I'm telling you right now.
There's no way that would happen.
This is it. Because he doesn't want the job. I have issues with Woody. No, he wants the job. He just doesn't have the guts to go talk to Woody himself.
Mm. Well, I mean, I don't think he wants to involve himself with such a layer of ineptitude. Like, it's just, you know, if he was younger, maybe in his own mind, and I know ego is at play, and he's not thinking he's at the end of the road. It's easier for us to, even though I'm sure he's got a few more years, but it's easier for us to say it as a coach. When you're him, you know, your ego is so, but you could think you could fix anything. So maybe, I don't know. There's too much to fix for his age.
But where do you think it comes from, Woody being the problem?
I don't know the answer to that. I'd be lying. I don't know the origin of his distaste for the Jets. I wish I knew.
But I'm not even talking about Woody specifically to Bill. But clearly the results aren't there, right, from Woody. But he has tried.
Yes, he has.
Okay, so he's tried. The results haven't been there. Belichick, and I'm sure he's not alone, sees the fault of Woody.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Is it that Woody behind closed doors is getting too involved in the football decisions?
No.
Well, then what's the?
I think he's more involved than his brother was when he was over in London. Christopher was a little bit more hands-on. Woody's fairly detached. Woody cuts the checks, and Woody stays out of the way. In a lot
of
ways,
what's the issue?
He's fantastic. If you win, that's the kind of owner you want. Can I have money to get this guy? Sure. Are you going to be on my behind after a tough loss? No. Do your job. You're hired. I empower you. I keep a low profile. Like, you know, I think the prop from Belichick's perspective, I think that he looks at Woody Johnson, and he just sees a guy who, after multiple decades, has failed to insulate himself with smart football people. And I think that somebody who is maybe the smartest football person ever, maybe along with Lombardi, Parcells, Shortlist for sure, Landry, whatever, he's probably sitting there saying, I can't sit in a room with this guy and talk football. I won't, it's beneath me. And I don't think it's personal. I think it's very hard to dislike Woody Johnson. Again, when I met him, he came across as very affable. Like, there are some owners, and I told you this, I don't know if I told you this, that the first time I met Dolan back in the day, I mean, it was very uncomfortable. Like, I felt it was incumbent upon me because I was doing the broadcast, the halftime, whatever, you know, pre and post. I have to say hi to him.
Right.
And I was talking to Isaiah doing the pregame interview. And I introduced myself. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Dolan? Just not receptive. Barely shook my hand. Didn't look at me. Like, you know,
really?
Yeah, it was. And then it happened again. I'm like, I'm going to give him another chance. Yeah, because I would interview Isaiah before the game. And sometimes when things were bad, and they were very bad that year, Dolan would come in, maybe with Steve Mills. And I'm like, all right, guys, you know, Isaiah, I'll see you. I know it's time to go. And Isaiah was cool, but Dolan was very standoffish. Woody was such a people person. And I know he wants to please Jet fans, and he's spending money, and he's trying to hire people, and he's trying to find a quarterback in the microwave, and he's trying to do getting a receiver. He basically begged Reddick to come here. Hey, we'll restructure it. He tries. There's just not enough good football people in the building, and he owns the team, and that's his fault.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ivan is calling from Houston. What's up, Ivan?
Hello, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal.
Yes.
Sal. Just want to say, Soto,
Yeah.
You, I know how much you love him, bro. That guy is a monster, bro.
Oh, hey, here's the bottom line, Yvonne. You're right. Enjoy him while you have him. He's a Yankee for now, and we're going to see what happens in the offseason. It's going to be very interesting to see how the Yankees approach it, what Soto ends up getting, and if the Mets get involved.
All I got to say, exactly. And I just want to say, hey, I'm not a Met hater. I was really hoping you guys won yesterday because I really think you would have won Game 7. I think Manaea came up small personally, but you guys had a great season, and I just want to say, as a Yankee fan, I am totally hyped. I cannot wait for this series. Dodgers can't wait to blow them out of the water with that weak-ass pitching. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the Yankees have saw top pitching this whole postseason. Cleveland was top five. Orioles was 7. I don't want to hear that it was a layup, because last time I checked, the Orioles and Astros, they didn't force it. They lost to those teams, okay? And we beat them. And we only lost 2 games this postseason. And we're not going to lose maybe 1 more game. And we're going to take them in 5. Let's go, Yankees. Number 28 coming our way.
Our boy. Our boy.
That was hilarious.
Oh, boy. Here, and we've only just begun. And Yankees got their work cut out for them. You don't be worrying about what, he's going to win this and that. Go do it. Go actually do it. And I'll leave you with this, Yvonne or Ivan. I forget which one it was. Soto. Enjoy them while you can, because the clock is ticking, my friend.
He's treated us well so far. It's been a nice, fun ride.
Clock is ticking.
Keep going, baby.
Clock is ticking.
A couple more wins. A lot of off-season content coming up. That's unavoidable. But
he's a Yankee.
He is a Yankee.
He is
a glorious Yankee. He gave us a moment that I know I'll never forget. As soon as that ball connected, the at-bat, the theater, as soon as that ball... Again, I told Sal early in the show, I didn't really know for sure if it was gone. I was also drunk, whatever. I didn't know for sure if it was gone. But when that ball went over the fence, that's, you don't forget your reaction. We all had that. It was absolutely bonkers.
Justin is in Marlboro. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan.
Thanks, Justin. What's going on?
I just wanted to say, I appreciate what you guys were saying about the Mets. I agree with a lot of it, except for one big thing. You guys didn't seem to know about the Rizzler.
No, not incredibly up to speed on that, no.
Let me enlighten you guys, because this kid is awesome. He's taking the world by storm.
Okay.
He does his wrist face. That's what you guys were saying was his third base signs. It's so much more than that. He looks at the camera, he kind of grabs his shin in a mysterious fashion, and it takes the world by storm. The kid's electric.
I mean, all right. I mean, if you're that easily amused, I can almost feel sorry for you. What else you got going on in your life?
I give up.
Not to disparage the young boy
it's
having fun,
fault.
Being living his best life, but you're that entertained by that? Really?
The Rizzler.
God. When I saw it, I was like, legit, what? What is this? Am I missing something?
There's certain things that go right over my head.
You hear the roar of the crowd when they showed it. I was like, oh, the Rizzler. I'm like,
what?
Okay, what's the Rizzler? Did I miss him? Did he act in some movie or something?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's like, then I'm looking up comments where it says, oh, the Rizzler, he's famous for touching his face in unique ways.
Like,
it's bizarre, bro.
He's electric. He might be.
You know what I did watch a little bit? Sounds like the Rizzler, and I don't know if he's going to be in this. He was not in the first episode, which I'm almost through.
Yeah.
I finally put on the Penguin.
Yes, me too. My wife and I as well.
And what'd you think?
Like it.
Me too.
I think we're 2 episodes in.
I'm just about 3/4 of 1.
Okay.
Big fan. I like it with the mafia background. It's good.
It's good. It's a good show. Sure. Good drama. What'd you say there, Hoff? You got some news?
Yeah, I don't have the audio, but we just saw, because we talked about Malik Nabers last segment, and basically back and forth with reporters. When they were talking about Malik Nabers being like, I'm open, Dable confirmed he was open a lot.
So is that what he said?
So Dable doubled down.
So they're not going to talk to him about projecting that. Again, it's not the biggest deal. We didn't, you know.
Can we just move on from Daniel Jones? Like, can we all just come to an agreement as a whole? Like, I get society is weak right now with like the Rizzler thing, but can we all just acknowledge that it's over for Daniel Jones? Like, things that died yesterday, not only the Mets 2024 season, not only the Giants season, not only Grimace or Positive Tommy, they're all dead. But can we move on from Daniel Jones? Like, it's got to be it. How much more can we take?
Well, Monday night, we're going to get another dose, so it's going to be 1-15 after that.
I'll be watching the World Series.
1-16. That's true.
I can't do it anymore.
No, it's an off day Monday. It's Friday, Saturday.
No,
that's right.
Game one at the stadium, game 3.
Oh, that's right. Game Friday. Friday, yes, Friday game 1, Saturday game 2, off day. Bronx for Monday, Game 3. Oh, yeah, sorry, Giants, Steelers. No, you're not going to watch much of that night at all.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who called, everybody who listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Zoo filling in for Dolph. Thanks to Hoff as well. It's going to be a fun week. Get ready for it.
Ready.
Yanks in the World Series going to carry us here.
I am ready.
And the Knicks tomorrow night.
I was going to say, as some teams die, guess who's rising tomorrow?
Right, baby.
So that at least will unify you as you try to ruin my World Series. Unify us as you try to ruin my World Series experience, which I know you're going to do more and more by the day.
No.
But at least we've got our Nick bond, which will keep us from killing each other.
I'm just going to enjoy watching Soto.
Yeah.
All right. Evan and Teague, you're up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.